and use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussions of in-committee items. I would like to remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. Proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphones work as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red or you will lose your place in the queue. There may be some members in attendance virtually and it has been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on an issue for any remote delegates. Therefore, if you're attending remotely, please ensure that you use chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in once all those within the chamber have spoken. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments that they make at the meeting. So, do we have any apologies? No apologies? Okay, so we'll move on to chairperson's remarks. This month and this past couple of weeks, the chairperson, it's been great to see the appointment of the integrated design team to redevelop the Newcastle Centre. It's well overdue, and it's something that's going to bring a lot of benefit to not only the people of Newcastle, but to the wider Mourne's DEA and across Newry, Mourne and Dundas Council. So we're very excited to see that progress. We also had the 25th anniversary of the Peace Maze in Castle Welland, which was a significant cross-community project celebrating the Good Friday Agreement. This represents a significant milestone in our council's shared history, and we look forward to seeing the progress and development of the area in the next coming years. I'm also proud to announce that my charities for the year, Head Injury Support and the Lawrence Trust, both are fantastic organisations providing much-needed support in our community. Head Injury Support is dedicated to helping individuals with ABI and their career and careers build social connections, develop new skills, enhance their emotional and physical well-being, and regain a renewed sense of purpose. The Lawrence Trust is a small but vital organisation to provide support and advice for men with eating disorders and mental health issues. Sadly as well, I need to bring upon that I would like to extend my sincere condolences and the condolences of this council to the family and friends of the late Mickey Brayley. Mickey served as a public representative in this district as both MLA and MP between 2007 and 2024. Prior to that, Mickey worked tirelessly to support workers and families here as a welfare advisor and a committed trade unionist. He therefore devoted his entire life to helping others. All too often, the only thing that stood between a family and destitution was an intervention from Mickey Brady. He helped anyone and everyone who sought this counsel. He didn't just try to help people, he committed his life to helping people. We send our collective condolences to Caroline, Saoirse, Michael, Sean, Niall, Lewis, and the whole Brady clan. Rajesh, Gora, Nan. Okay, so moving on to item number three on the agenda, which is the setting of, item number two, any declarations of interest. Item number three is set the distribution for the financial year 2026-2027. I'll hand over to Marie for that.
Thank you. So, in accordance with the requirements of the Local Government Finance Act Northern Ireland 2011, as Chief Executive and Chief Financial Officer, I'm required to provide assurance to members on the robustness of the revenue estimates and the adequacy of the Council's reserves position as part of the rate-setting process prior to submission to the Department for Communities. Detailed estimates have been formulated, presented to and scrutinised by members of the Strategic Finance Working Group. These have considered outturns from previous years, corporate pressures, planned savings and efficiencies, current spending plans and projected future investment, and that adequate funding is available to protect frontline services. There have been five Strategic Finance Working Groups meetings since the 18th November in preparation for striking the 2026-2027 rate. As a result of this extensive process and detailed analysis that has been undertaken, I am satisfied that the estimates presented should provide adequate financial resources to support the running costs of the Council for 26-27, and the reasonable consideration of financial risks to the Council have been made in the preparation of the estimates. I've highlighted within the report significant uncertainties that exist, including the future impact of the current economic climate, draft budget at the Northern Ireland Executive level, animal welfare funding, Go Succeed funding, rate support grant funding, uncertainties that continue in relation to the Windsor framework, the Council's rate space going forward, and sustainability considerations. One of the 8 strategic objectives of the Council's draft corporate plan 24 to 27 is to protect and enhance our environment and address the climate change emergency to secure a sustainable future. Work is in progress and reported through the Sustainability and Environment Committee on the sustainability considerations. The long-term financing of Council, I'm satisfied that the estimates presented, while subject to the significant uncertainties noted above, provide adequate financial resources to support the Council's running costs for 2026-27. I'm also satisfied that reasonable consideration has been given to the financial risks facing the Council, as known at this time, in the preparation of these estimates. Within the paper, I also set out the overall position on the reserves and then key factors contributing to the proposed rate increase at 2.3 within the report. So the recommendations are that members are asked to approve the consideration and recommendations of the Strategic Finance Working Group in relation to the 2026-27 rate setting process. And having regard to the to my statement as required by the Local Government Finance Act 2011, that we approve an increase in the district rate for 26-27 of 2.8% based on an estimated penny product of 2561999, meaning a non-domestic rate of 31.0337 pence and a domestic rate of 0.499 pence. And it included then recommendations 2 to 8 to also approve the medium-term financial plan, the general estimates, the capital strategy report, the ongoing capital programme, the Treasury Management Strategy Statement, Minimum Revenue Provision Statement and the action sheets of the Strategic Finance Working Group. So I put the rate to the floor.
Mr Hart.
Thanks, Chair. As Group Leader of Sinn Féin and Council, I'm happy to propose the rate of 2.8%. This is one of the lowest rates over the past number of years. Striking this rate will allow the Council to continue providing the services it is responsible for whilst investing in projects across the district, stimulate growth, investment and create new job opportunities, creating financial stability to ensure that frontline services are protected. Many meetings have taken place over the last number of months scrutinising the financial position of the Council. There is an ambitious capital plan which will see many major projects across the district. For example, Newry Regeneration, City Park and the Theatre Arts Complex, the funding ring-fenced for Downpatrick Regeneration, a new health and wellbeing hub for Warren Point, major refurbishment of Kilkeel Leisure Centre, an integrated consultancy team to progress refurbishment of the Newcastle Centre, and exciting plans for the treetop walk in Castle Welland. The Council also provides a comprehensive financial assistance programme that supports our local communities across a variety of themes. Fiscal stability is critical to these plans. Sinn Féin believe it is incumbent on all parties to work together for the benefit of the ratepayers and local businesses, particularly in these continued challenging times.
Who was the Secretary for that proposal, Councillor Hart? Councillor Hannan. Councillor
Hannah. Chair, the DUP will not be voting for this rate, just simply because at this moment in time there, we still think the minority unionist community, so they do, and this council area are pretty much unforeseen people, so are, I believe, just a very, very simple thing. We can't even get our bins lifted properly, so we can't. Over Christmas was another disaster, so it was... I know Sinead doesn't agree with it there, but we know the amount of complaints we have. I know the people aren't complaining on that system you're working, Sinead. That's one thing. As well as that, we have asked for a number of things over the years, and I tell you, nothing seems to be progressing at all. Should it be the Festival of Flight or anything that we have sort of highlighted that we would like to see some progress made on it, nothing has really happened on it. So we're beginning to lose faith completely, so I have, in that the unionist community, which we make up almost 25% of this whole electorate there, and we just are not We just believe we're not getting a good service. And the council there, to be quite honest with you, I know Barry has highlighted a lot of the things that's taken place. We still have the highest sick rates we have in the whole of all the councils in Northern Ireland. So there's quite a number of things this council needs to improve on. So there's before we will be supporting them in the way that they hope that we will. So just at this moment in time, that's where we're at. So, so we will not be supporting this rise or this new rate.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Jared, for your work on this. We will be supporting this rate. It's always difficult to support an increase in rates, particularly at a time when the cost of living continues to impact families and businesses across the district. This is the first rates increase that Alliance has supported during this council term. Previously, we abstained due to serious concerns around council spending and progress towards the Mourne Mountain Gateway Gondola project. We did not feel it was right to ask ratepayers to pay more while significant funding was being directed towards a project that was environmentally damaging and lacked local support, alongside many other flawed components. Alliance has consistently applied strong and transparent scrutiny to major council spending, and that approach will continue to ensure value for money for ratepayers, alongside our effort to protect investment from the Belfast Region City Deal within our district. Following a detailed review of our council finances and service delivery, we have now taken a decision to support this year's rates increase. The 2.8, which is below the rate of inflation, reflects rising operational costs required to maintain waste management, leisure and community services, as well as ensuring that council staff are fairly paid. This decision was not one that we took lightly, but we believe it's necessary to protect service quality for residents. Alliance will continue to ensure council spending reflects the very real needs of our communities and delivers value for every pound spent. Alliance has always been clear that any decision on rates must be justified, proportionate and focused on protecting frontline services. This year's increase strikes that balance, ensures council remains financially stable while continuing to deliver the service residents rely on every day. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Truesdale. Councillor Reilly.
Thank you, Chairman. Chairman, in all my years as an elected representative, I have never experienced such a degree of interest in the rates from hard-pressed homeowners, and especially the business community, with many small to medium businesses indicating that they are on the edge of going under because of rising employer costs, and the prospect of an increased rates bill is causing anxiety and worry for our business community throughout the district. The council staff costs equate to a gross expenditure of $49.5 million. The council has already applied a vacancy allowance to salary posts, recognising that the organisation will not operate 100% staffing levels throughout the year. This reflects the assumption that some posts will remain unfilled temporarily. Frontline posts are excluded from this allowance as they must be fulfilled immediately to maintain service provision. We completely understand and support that. Included in this allowance at 5%, which is salary post only, takes 1.6 million out of the estimates, equivalent to a saving of over 2% on the rate. We believe that we should focus more sharply on this aspect of cost to the ratepayer and examine any duplication that may still exist from the amalgamation of the former Newry and Mourne Council and Down Council, and is not just salaried staff, but also hourly paid workers. And we are proposing a freeze on the recruitment of non-frontline essential personnel who are not essential to maintain service provision in our district. We believe that this is one way that we can work to reduce costs for the council in a very pragmatic and open fashion, and we're making that a proposal that we freeze all non-essential, all recruitment of non-essential personnel, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Reilly. Seconded by Councillor Hannah. What are you in agreement? No. Put it to a vote. Certainly.
Just a point of clarity, how do you decide who's non-essential on frontline services? So your proposal is to phrase non-essential frontline recruitment. So how do we determine who's non-essential?
The council makes that determination itself. There is a clear determination between people who work in leisure centres, lifeguards, bin collection officers, and people who are in black room services. It's a very clear distinction there.
Those recruitment is non-essential?
Obviously.
Maybe an officer could answer that, if you're saying that is a council policy.
As I made clear, it's not just the definition between essential and non-essential, which is the council's own definition, but we still have severe concerns that there is a duplication in management across the area, but we're still essentially operating as two separate entities in many instances, and we can see opportunity to reduce costs on the ratepayer. And that was always the intent of the amalgamation, to increase efficiencies. But if you combine the number of staff we had at amalgamation, the numbers are actually greater now, even taking into consideration the transfer of planning from DOE to council. You know, the numbers don't add up from our perspective in the DUP. We want to see more efficiency, and we believe there is room in the system to obtain that. And I'm sure the Chief Executive can give you the council definition of salaried and non-salaried staff.
Thanks, Mr. Rainmarie.
Yeah, sure. I'm not sure what I'm being asked. Salaried staff are salaried staff, and non-salaried staff are those who are paid on a weekly or a fortnightly basis. In relation to the definition of non-essential staff, I think it's fair to say that this council has determined in their corporate plan and what they deliver the need for all staff that are currently employed by the council. I think it's also important to say that we have done significant work over the last between 6 and 10 years in relation to staff, and we've had significant voluntary redundancy schemes and restructured at the top management tiers as well. So I couldn't provide anything clearer than this point. I would suggest all staff are currently essential. The other thing I would say is that we do review our structures and our, I suppose, staffing levels on a regular basis.
Okay. So, considering we're not in agreement, we'll go to
Chair, the question before we go.
Mr. Byrne?
Yeah. Chair, our party wouldn't be comfortable with a vote on freeze without the information, and I think having a paper table that Strategic Finance Working Group, which used to be called the Efficiencies Working Group, interrogate this further before making a final decision. If a decision comes out on the floor and asking 41 councillors to vote for or against a staff freeze without that information, wouldn't be the right thing to do. So I'd ask that it's tabled at the next SFWG and we give proper scrutiny to this, of which we can make a decision. It's not going to affect the rate today, but it's something that we need more information on. So just ask if we can amend the proposal for this.
Chairman, can Councillor Byrne accept that reducing the salary post allowance by 5% takes 1.6 million out of the rates estimates for this year? Because that is a significant amount of money. And if that could be made permanent, plus additional posts identified that are not essential, not working in essential services, that's all we're proposing. We recognise that the 5% reduction is taking £1.6 million out of the rates, over £1.6 million out of the rates this year. And we would like to make that permanent and further investigate how we can improve that number to further reduce the rates burden on the business community and hard-pressed house owners. That's not rocket science. That's very, very simple for any objective councillor to understand where we're coming from on this. Thank you.
Yeah, Chair, just to be clear, the vacancy allowance that we put in place is not specific to any one or any individual post. The vacancy allowance is something that we do, recognising that there is continual turnover of staff in the nature of the organisation that we operate. So we will always take a period of time, particularly for posts,
at the different management tiers in the organisation a period of time for recruitment. So what we're doing to try to, I suppose, manage that burden for the ratepayer is take a position on allowing a vacancy allowance, which recognises that sometimes it can take 3 to 4 months to actually recruit anybody, but we are not removing any posts in that process, and I want to be very, very clear on that. So it's an allowance made that gives us the space, that recognises that we have a recruitment process to go through and that we carry some of those salaries at a point in time. But it's certainly not saying those posts are removed from the structure. We still carry the same payroll budget.
Thank you, Marie. Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just to directly answer the question of Councillor O'Reilly, I'm not disputing, agreeing or disagreeing with the figures to say, but we have a mechanism for discussing the finances before we get to this point, and that's through the SFWG. Mm-hmm. And my proposal to amend is to ask for respect that all councillors are furnished with that information so we can make an informed decision. I think it's very difficult for a proposal of such magnitude to come on the floor at 6:30 while striking a rate for us to make that decision. So I'd respectfully ask if we can table it at SFWG, and then we can give it due consideration.
Councillor Taylor? Mr. Reilly, you willing to accept that amendment?
Yeah.
In agreement?
Yep.
Yes? Okay. Do now? Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Hi, this is back on to the rest of it. Chair, I just want to start off by saying, obviously, Marie, as Chief Executive, just stated at the start that the recommendations of SFWG, I just want to make it clear that the recommendation to strike the rate at 2.8% is not a recommendation of the Strategic Finance Working Group. We didn't come to a recommendation. We had a number of very robust meetings. Marie had stated that there was 5 meetings over the last few months, with an additional meeting called by us and the SDLP last Tuesday, to interrogate alternative proposals. So while we did have a lot of debate back and forth on what was sitting on the table and what proposals that we would, as parties would bring, we didn't come to a recommendation, so I just want to clear the record on this. I also want to just start off by saying that I completely agree with the comments from Councillor Hart in terms of what this council does, and we'll do that in a press release. We're going to go out and we're going to talk about the ambitious capital plan that we have. We're going to talk about the services, the supports, the programmes, the staffing that we have here. And there is no proposal that came at the Strategic Finance Working Group that would compromise any of that. I want to make that very clear from the outset. And any attempt to say that any proposal alternative to the officer's proposal would have compromised that is spin. Nothing that was proposed at SFWG would have taken away from programmes, would have taken away from the capital plan. It's talking about how we manage our finances to support the businesses out there who are really operating in difficult circumstances. It was stated at the start, I just noted, that the Chief Executive stated that the Council noted the uncertainty and a number of strains in animal welfare, rate support grant, and so be it. Businesses are operating in uncertain times. Last week, Friday, a week ago, when we had Reval 2026 draft valuation list published, it really threw the business community, especially in hospitality and the licensed premises sector, into complete chaos. And that was a decision that was taken by the Finance Minister on the basis of advice from his advisers and by LPS. It's one thing taking the advice from your advisers, but there's also a political angle to this. We've got to listen to the businesses that are out there. And because, and thankfully, from Newry Bid, from Hospitality Ulster, from all the pubs that put up their stories on social media that opposed the tripling of rates in hospitality and the opposition, a petition from the SDLP and the opposition in Stormont, and our robust conversations and tabling of an emergency motion, which I'm dealing with now, on councils, that the Minister did do a U-turn. And I'm not going to have a go at the Minister for that, because I absolutely welcome when somebody puts their hands up and says that they got something wrong. I'd rather we done that more in this place, that we put our hands up and says we got something wrong. But the point of raising this now is because businesses are in uncertain times, that valuation has paused, has stopped, has halted. I've seen 3 or 4 different verbs used by the Minister to say where we are in that process. But every single one of them follows with pause, stopped, halted, to allow spaces for sectors to provide the much-needed evidence to allow a full examination of the issues raised. It states that from the statement today. It states that from the statement that went out last Thursday. It is paused until more information is forthcoming. So those businesses are still in uncertain times. Yes, their rates mightn't triple, and there might be a meeting in the middle, but they don't know where they are. When you had the rise, and rightfully the rise in wage, the rise in national insurance, the rise in cost of doing business, and then not knowing for people that want to grow their business and put money into the business, they don't know what's going to come from Reval 2026. Because it may be paused, it may be halted, but it's still going to go ahead in some shape or form. We then have to come before that, and before the regional rate is struck. So when we go out and say that it's 2.8% and that equates to a certain amount on top of a business, we have to spell out the full picture. Regional rate comes after that. Whatever comes in Reval after that. And the STLP, we will not be putting any increased burden on the rate payer in this uncertain period. We heard loud and clear from the sector and from all businesses that they cannot cope with it. Now, we can turn around and say 2.8%. It's a minimal increase. Over the last couple of years, you have small increase after small increase after small increase. And you know what businesses keep saying to us? I'm sure all reps get it across this chamber. What do we get for that increase? It's all right us going out and talking about programs and supports and what we're doing as a council, but they don't feel the tangible benefit on the ground, but they're constantly hit with the cost. So what is the alternative? Yes, we get recommendations from officers that say this is our absolute floor, and we had a higher floor last week, but we couldn't go below. We did go below it. We're now at 2.8%. We brought alternative proposals to SFWG that would actually force that down dramatically. Unfortunately, down dramatically, and we can disagree, agree to disagree with officers, and at no point in this having a criticism of officers, because they have to protect the financial integrity of this council. But we also, as politicians, have to come with alternatives. That is our job. And when we say at the start, and some parties said that there was a lot of scrutiny across SFWG, I'm sorry, I didn't see it. Five meetings, a lot of silence. No other alternatives coming in SFWG. And when alternatives came, there was people actually angry that alternatives were coming. Guys, that's our job. Our job is to propose alternatives. So we have, and I'm not going to get into the detail of the figures. We went through it all at SFWG. It's there on the record. We have ring-fenced in our capital reserve a certain fund that we'd ring-fenced in September 2025 against certain projects. It is in our remit to revisit that, because the environment has changed for businesses. Businesses are asking us to revisit that. So we have put a proposal forward to look at the capital plan for next year, the capital plan that will complete within this rate year, what is being grant funded, what is being financed, what is left on that. We asked for the figures. I read out the figures of what I had calculated in 5.53 million less SFWG. And I want to put on record, I want to thank David Taylor for seconding the proposal to look at that, because collectively, that proposal was looking at driving this rate down further, and that's what we need to do for businesses. So when there are alternative proposals on the table, I'm asking from the SDLP, and as I say, thank you, David, and the DUP for coming in supporting as well, for political support. Because when you take just advice from officers, like John O'Dowd took advice from officers, and disregard what the people are saying to us as politicians, you come out one end of it. We need to combine the two and come to some sort of agreement or consideration. So I'm disappointed that alternative proposals are out there and not given the hearing that we asked for from last week, because we do not have to put this rate increase on top of businesses. So I'm going to leave it at that. I had an emergency motion on the Reval, but we're really going to touch on that later on whenever it comes back from listening mode from the Minister, and obviously got the comments in on this. But I would ask people to listen to what businesses are saying. We're the first to act, 2.8% plus the regional rate, plus what Reval is going to do. We have growth in this district over the last year. We don't want to see that going backwards. So we'll be standing with businesses, and we'll be voting against the rate increase.
Thank you, Councillor Byrne. Councillor Taylor.
Yep, Chair, thank you. Chair, listen, I want to recognise the work that obviously has been undertaken over the last period of time to deliver and put together the projects and programmes that are in place and will be produced in the district in the time ahead. But there are genuine concerns out there, and the reality is that local householders and businesses are under significant pressure at this time. I don't think we can deviate from that, because we have a responsibility as elected representatives to look after those ratepayers. That's our core role as a council, as councillors, and we would never place the financial position of the council in jeopardy. But I do feel that we have had the opportunity to have more room based on, for instance, the proposal that was brought forward by Pete last week, but it certainly wasn't given, I feel, the consideration that it should have been, particularly when we find ourselves in a situation last week where we're discussing a potential issue where the Minister obviously took a U-turn on it. And whilst that's welcome, it does still leave considerable uncertainty for businesses going forward, with the fact that there is no final determination on the way forward for that reval issue. Nothing has been proposed as a, other than it been put on hold at this stage or indeed agreed. So that does still create uncertainty for local businesses who are really our key economic and tourism providers in the district as well. So there are those genuine concerns that exist about the impact any increase will have on local businesses. We have to be able to look those people in the eye as their public servants, as people that we want to see serving their best interests. And it's not just, as Councillor Burns said, the fact that we have to contend with the 2.8% increase. It's what the regional rate on top of that will lead to as well. And I do fear, given that I have, and I do be talking to business representatives and even households that are under pressure with the cost of living at this moment in time, but I do fear, particularly in terms of businesses, that with the impact of our increase and the impact of the regional rate as well, that it has the potential to place those that are already under pressure over the edge. And that's not something we can sit here and accept as a council. So I can't support the increase at this moment in time. As I said, there has been proposals brought forward that, you know, probably we felt could be given more consideration, but we are where we are with that at this moment in time. So I couldn't support the proposal as it stands at this moment in time.
Councillor Taylor, Councillor Pisey.
Thanks. I would agree with Councillor O'Reilly. It is the most public interest that I've seen in the rates. And it's pretty significant when you think Councillor O'Reilly's the father of the chamber and it's the most that he's seen in his 37 years on the council. Glenn summarised our concerns well. I would add to that our planning concerns. We have the worst in Northern Ireland. The number of planning applications processed under 15 weeks for us is 4%. And the next worst in Northern Ireland is 24%. And the NI average is 44%. It's been a problem in this council for far too long and its impact on the local economy. So that'd be another reason why the DUP wouldn't be supporting the rate increase today.
Thank you, Councillor Bosley. I'm going to ask Marie to come in again just to address some of the points raised.
Yeah, Chair, just as the Chief Financial Officer for the organisation, I have to put to the Council a rate that is sufficient to enable the operation of the Council in line with what the Council's corporate and strategic objectives are. That is the rate that I have put. I appreciate that Councillor Burns has referred to suggestions made at SFWG, but just to say that we have looked at those as well. And certainly I think our reserves policies and our reserves procedures allow us to do in-year reviews, etc., and we can take a look at those. But I think one of the things that we had looked at was the completion of, for example, the Ballinahinch Community Centre this year, which would actually go to our MRP. It is effectively making an MRP this year for about £7,000. So even to take £1.1 million out of the reserves to make that saving wouldn't make us the addition. But I think it's important to say that we will look at those with our team and our councillors moving forward, as we have done in previous months. Just in relation to planning, Councillor Bowsey is well fully aware that the matter of planning is discussed in some detail at this council through the FPNR committee on a regular basis, and indeed planning as well. So I suppose what I'm saying is the rate that we've put to you is that what we consider to be appropriate for the running of the council.
Thank you, Marie. Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just a brief comment to Justin what Marie had said, and I'm not getting into a back and forth on this. The proposal, I don't want the proposal I brought forward and was seconded by Councillor Taylor to be reduced to 1 line in the capital plan, of which then is reduced 25 years of a £24,000 MRP. That was not what the proposal was, and went through 12 different projects, saying that we can look going forward of how we use our capital reserves and be a wee bit smarter with them, given grant funding that come in. I'm not going to obviously go into detail of grant funding because we don't have the letter of offer. But the smaller projects have an effect on this council. We can talk about the minimum revenue provision on the bigger projects in the future, but 2 years ago when we were doing the rates process, the MRP was sitting just circa 5 million. It's over 6 million now. So that keeps increasing, and we've got to have a strategy for dealing with that. We proposed 2 years ago, when it came to the rates process, of taking a 5 to 10 year period and putting capital reserves in against MRP to reduce it. We didn't do it. I understand that we can have in-year reviews, but my request for the SFWG was to have an additional meeting to discuss that. I wanted it done before the rates process for the reasons that businesses are operating at uncertain times. So I just don't want it to be reduced that it is one line on one project on MRP being 24,000. It's a lot more than that.
And Chair, just to be clear, I'm not reducing it to one line. I'm simply giving the example of £1 million from reserves would make a £7,000 saving on our MRP this year, but accepted that we can review all of that, I suppose, as we did in September when we met with all of the parties and we agreed our current reserves position and our reserves policy.
For information, very, very important, because obviously Professor picking up this. If you're financing over 25 years, that's a decision as well. MRP, if you're financing a building or vehicle over 7 years or 25 years and you're paying off MRP, but there are other ways of dealing with it rather than going through the MRP. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Okay, seeing we're not in agreement, we'll move forward with the vote. Those in favour of the vote, the rate. Record a vote. Okay, I'm calling for record a vote. So those for the rate set at 2.5.
Councillor Andrews?
I'm not green and red now, but as a Rowan councillor, I'll be definitely voting against.
Councillor Bowsey?
Against.
Councillor Brennan?
For.
Councillor Bring? Councillor Campbell?
For.
Councillor Clark?
For.
Councillor Dev? Councillor Enright?
Against.
Councillor Feehan?
Against.
Councillor Finn?
Against.
Councillor Galbraith?
Yes.
Councillor Gibbons?
For.
Councillor Hanlon? Councillor Hannah?
Against.
Councillor Hart? Councillor Hardy? Councillor Howell?
For.
Councillor Howe?
For.
Councillor Jackson?
Against.
Councillor Cairns?
For.
Councillor Orlick? Councillor Cahill King?
For.
Councillor Larkin?
For.
Councillor Lawler?
For.
Councillor Lee Surgener?
For.
Councillor Lou? Councillor McGuinness?
For.
Councillor Mathers? Councillor McIntyre?
Against.
Councillor Declan?
For.
Councillor Kim?
For.
Councillor Selena Murphy?
For.
Councillor Herr? Councillor Quinn?
For.
Councillor Riley?
Again.
Councillor Wright?
For.
Councillor Wan?
For.
Councillor Taylor?
Against.
Councillor Tinley? Councillor Truesdale? Councillor Young? So 26 for, 16 against, and no abstentions.
Okay, so it's passed. Okay. Moving on to item 4 on the agenda. Action sheet arises from council meeting held on the 12th of January 2026. Go through from accuracy. Pages 1, 2, 3, 4, 4. Can I propose and a seconder, please?
Chair, just for the record, it's 25-4 and 16 against. Yeah, so just for the record, there are an extra councillor. So it's 25-4 and 16 against, just for the record, and that's relating to the rates.
Okay, thank you, sir. Sorry, so can we propose in a seconder for the action sheet? Opposed, Councillor Bowser. Seconded. Mr. Andrews, any matters arising? Councillor Reddick?
Yeah, Chairman, was there any reply back from NI Water regarding the planning issue? You know, if a building's been vacant for 5 years, they regard it as a new build. Is there anything back yet?
No, Chair, but we will advise when we do get a response.
On the item number 5 in the agenda, which is the minutes from the council meeting held on the 12th of January 2026. If you're exe, pages 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah. Can I propose on a seconder, please? While we're here.
I'll propose, Chair.
Propose, Councillor Andrews, seconder. Councillor Rowan. Thank you, Councillor Rowan. Moving on to item number 6, which is the minutes of the Economy, Regeneration and Tourism. Any matters raised, sir? No. Moving on to item number 6, minutes of the Economy, Regeneration and Tourism Committee, meeting held on the 19th of January 2026. Page for accuracy, pages 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. If we're proposing a seconder, please. Close, yes,
Chairman. Just wanted to.
Can we just get a seconder first, Councillor?
Come on, that. Proposed. We are too. I thought you were an SPM.
Okay. The proposer. Proposer for the minutes for the ERT. Councillor. Councillor Young. Any matters arising? Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, sure. It was just on the item on the Pontoon and our water. Sorry, the water.
Councillor McAteer, that was a closed session.
Yeah,
item.
Yeah, just to let you know. Yeah, if you're going to go ahead, I'm happy.
We'll have to close. You're going to propose when the closed session.
Yeah.
Second, Councillor Hannah. Thank you. Just have to ask the members of the public to leave if we're going into closed session. So in relation to ERT 009-2026, Warren Point, Pontoon and Breakwater, while in closed session, following the receipt of legal advice, it was agreed to accept the officer's recommendation. Thank you. Okay. Moving on to item number 7 on the agenda, which is Minute of Strategy and Policy and Resources Committee meeting. Order, please. I know. Order, please. Order, please. We'll move on with respect. Okay. Item number 7, which is the Minutes of Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held 22nd of January 2026. Can you read the pages?
Opposed, Chairman. Opposed,
that. I'll go through it for accuracy first. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Proposed by Councillor Riley. Seconded by Mathers, Councillor Mathers. Any matters arising?
Chairman, on the Community Centre, absolutely delighted that the money's been agreed to renovate it. I'm just wanting to be absolutely sure, had the committee and the users of the centre been fully involved? And there's 6,500 in recurrent expenditure there.
This is a closed session item. If you avoid the financial details and ask a question with avoiding the financial details.
Thank you, Councillor Reddy. Councillor Devlin.
Oh, here. Oh, need to go. Sorry, I thought Henry Kennedy was speaking there. Apologies, Chair. I've got an item in number page 5. It's regarding Donald Parkworks, and don't worry, I'll not mention any of the financials that were discussed in committee, Chair. I suppose it's just to thank the officers for their time and effort in this regard. I think, and I very much welcome the decision that's before us this evening. It's just been ratified. I think for any Mourns councillors who've been living and breathing the antisocial and criminal issues in Donald Park will be very pleased to see this taking a further step forward. So we just hope that the investment in the barriers and the lighting brings the sort of outcome that we all so badly need, the local residents deserve. Thank you, Chair. And I also have another wee comment, if that's okay. It's regarding page 7 in respect of the lease for the generator house. And again, not going into any privileged matters, but I suppose just to welcome that before us. I think the Harbour Heritage Association in Newcastle is really all that's good in terms of community groups right across our area. We see so many groups that operate, and this one in particular does such amazing work. We know for years at the Harbour there were so many different user groups and so many different groups of people that operated there, but they've brought them together all under the one umbrella and speaking with the one voice, and they really do deserve our praise and our thanks. Chair, just to mention that, since it was on the papers this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Devlin. Councillor Eddie, looking back at
it? Yeah, sure, I'm sorry. No, on the Animal Loan thing, just delighted that it has been done and agreed. And am I allowed to ask, have we consulted with the committee and the users, Billy? And also, can we help committee to look at alternative venues while the work has been done? Chairman, can I also point out on the Donard Park issue, I am very concerned that the facility that we're putting in place to try and reduce the antisocial behaviour will be very, very vulnerable to determined people who want to abuse that area with motor vehicles. And I'm still of the opinion that in the long term, the only way to stop that activity is sharp ramps within the area. It's a curse on decent people, but it's the only way to stop that type of activity.
Yeah, can we bring Andy on this?
Thank you, Chair. On Annalong Community Centre, yes, Councillor, we have engaged with the group that are in that centre and will continue to do so throughout the duration of the works. We'll continue to engage with them and look at alternative venues, but happy to keep Mourns councillors updated as we go on that process. With regards to Donard Park Works, yes, the proposals were accepted, put forward and accepted at SPNR. And again, we'll be keeping Mourns councillors up to date as well. We've been engaging with PSNI and other multi-agency partners, and we're mindful it does take a multi-agency approach to address the issues in Donard Park. So we have invested significantly in that particular facility with regards to speed ramps, etc. And this is a significant investment also in lighting and barriers. So we'll continue to work on that basis. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Andy. Okay. Moving on to item number 9 on the agenda, is minutes of sustainability environment. Oh, sorry, minutes of active and healthy communities meeting held 26th of January. Minutes 1, 2, 3 and 4. Can I propose our seconder, please? Was Councillor Kate Murphy seconded? Councillor Lawler, any matters arising? Okay, on to minutes. Item number 9, Minutes of Sustainability and Environment Committee meeting held on the 20th of January 2026.
Congratulations.
Oh, ahead ourselves, fellas. Here's 1, 2, 3 and 4, proposed by Councillor Riley, seconded by Councillor Taylor. Any matters arising? Mr. Riley?
Yeah, Chairman, can I thank Sinead for the work that she'd done on the request I'd done about coastal defence. It was very, very helpful, the paper that she has given me all to date, and I look forward to the further backups on it. Chairman, on the issue of the bins, Councillor Hannah has indicated earlier that there was a big breakdown in the information available to the public. Again, Sinead Traynor and Sinead, condolences to you for the loss of your family member. I'm very sorry to hear about that in the previous meeting. But there was a real breakdown in communications between the council and the people who were putting out their bins in the area. And I had known that at a previous S&E, we were advised that the sticky labels would be on the bins on the Thursday and Friday, I think it was, previous, and that would have sorted the thing out. But certainly in my area, and I heard Councillor Rice complain about it, and Councillor Hanna, that there was a lot of confusion in the Mourns area. And I don't want to point fingers or complain, but I definitely want the council to acknowledge that there was a bit of a failure there and make sure that for next Christmas or any holiday period that we have those sticky labels well in advance so as our bin staff can apply them. That's all I'm saying, Chairman. But thank you to Sinead and Sinead Trainer for the work that they've done.
Thank you, Councillor Rennie. Moving on to item number 10, the planning section. Select report. Item number 11, correspondence report. Who's in a seconder, please? Councillor Rice, seconder. Councillor, aye. Any matters arising? Councillor Rice.
Thanks, Chair. It's just in relation to 11.3. I thank the Chief Executive for his correspondence and to once again comment. Commend the pupils of St. Louis Grammar School for bringing forward the motion and their engagement on this important issue. The aim of their motion was to help spark interest in politics, promote democratic engagement and better prepare young people for participation in the electoral process. So, in line with the motion proposed by the pupils and the correspondence from EA, I, on behalf of Sinn Féin, would like to propose that the council write to all schools across the district, inviting them at their own discretion to allow elected representatives to attend and engage with their pupils. This would include a discussion around policies and manifestos, providing opportunities for pupils to question and scrutinise their local representatives.
Thank you very much, Councillor Rice, for seconding for that proposal. Mr. Quinn? Are we all in agreement? Yep. Okay. Councillor Finn?
It was just in relation to 11.2 and the letter from the Minister. I think the issues at Regen are on the forefront of a lot of people's minds, and I think it is really disappointing that the Minister has again said that he will meet with the Chair and the Chief Executive. It is something that I know previous ministers, and I think of Minister O'Dowd, who met with myself and Councillor Mathers and Councillor Fahan, that it is actually kind of common practice that there is a quorum of people sent from this council. So I would write back and I would ask the Minister, is there a reason why specifically he is saying that he will only meet with the Chair and the Chief Executive of Council? Because I think it is disappointing that an issue that is so wide-ranging for residents across the Newry and Warren Point area, that it feels a little bit like he doesn't want to meet with other representatives. And I just we could maybe ask why.
What proposal, Councillor Finn? Seconder for that proposal? Councillor Rowan, are we all in agreement? Councillor Hyde?
My point is on 11.
Sorry, Councillor Hyde.
One. Yeah. And I think I...
Councillor Rowan?
Yeah, just to follow on from those comments to say exactly the same, that it's not good enough that he just wants to come and speak with the Chief Executive and the Chair of Council, that I was going to suggest at least the elected reps from the Crotchleigh area, who's the ones that are affected by it mostly, would be invited to that meeting as well.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Rowan. Councillor Hutt?
Councillor Truesdale wants to speak on this item, so I'll come in after.
Can I make an amendment to Councillor Finn's proposal to write, in that we write to the Minister with a request for one group leader from each of the parties, and Councillor Gibbons, as Councillor Tinley has a conflict of interest. So could I make the proposal that we write to one group leader from each party and Councillor Gibbons attend the meeting as well, as a representative of Crotley?
Mr. Flynn, are you willing to accept that amendment to your proposal?
Yeah, I'm not going to, and I think just because this is such a huge public interest issue, the Minister, with respect, has been given two opportunities now in letter form to meet with
a delegation from this council, and on both occasions has nearly verbatim written the same thing. So I think we should be really pressing that this needs to be something that he is going to come and speak with as many councillors, because it's such a huge issue. And I would say that most, the majority of councillors have been asked about this, and be it whether it's kind of two representatives from each party like we've done before. So no, I won't be accepting that proposal.
Phil, do you have a second for that proposal? Mr. High. Anybody else in agreement? No. Hans?
Chair, can we just get clarity on it before we vote on this? Why ask for group leaders? I don't want to be there instead of Declan McAtee. I'm sure Sinn Féin doesn't want to be there instead of Mickey Rowan. We pick our own delegation. So I'm opposing the group leader. I'm not going to be in Warren Point speaking when there's Warren Point councillor there. So that's my issue with the vote. I've no problem with a delegation party sending whoever the hell they want.
I think just one point is that we asked for the meeting. It's not up to the minister to say who he feels should attend that meeting, who should be able to bring the most added value to that meeting. Surely that's up to us as a council and as political parties to decide who's the best person. I mean, which is what Gary's point there.
Councillor Flynn, would you like this stated?
I'm happy to change my proposal on the basis that we will ensure that there's alliance representation there as a council, if that was what the issue that kind of Councillor Truesdale had, because I do totally agree with Pete and other reps. Some group leaders don't represent Crotley, so it feels a bit jarring that would be a stipulation, and why should we need to tell the minister who we're going to be sending?
Maybe Chair, just let me back in very briefly. I think also then whenever the meeting is sent out, it might then not fit somebody. So I think if we just keep it very much just a delegation, and then we decide among ourselves who goes and who doesn't go whenever we know when that meeting takes place, as opposed to the minister dictating to us who's going to meet with him. I think that's quite unusual actually as well in this sort of process. Thank you.
And Councillor Truesdale, do you want to withdraw? Are you content? Do you want to vote on
it? We would be content with one representative from each party and an independent if the parties wanted to send a Crotley councillor rather than a group leader, if that makes more sense.
So I think Councillor Truesdale, you're in effect agreeing with Councillor Finn, who's saying a representative from each. Excuse me if I'm paraphrasing, but I think Councillor Finn was proposing that a representative from each party. Or that we just write to the minister and ask that a delegation and it's for council to determine who goes. And then if the minister accepts that a delegation goes, we can bring it back in to agree who is attending. Are you content to withdraw what you're...
Withdraw. Okay. Absolutely.
So those four?
It's okay.
So is everybody... Everybody's in agreement? Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Oh, Councillor High.
Councillor Bowser?
Just on the back of Councillor Rice, just to thank Minister Given for his comprehensive response. Can I just propose that the letter from 11.1 and the one from the EA 11.3, that the copies of them get sent to the school? It would be good to keep them involved in the democratic process and seeing that their actions have got a response from government.
Yes.
Second by Councillor High, we have an agreement?
Okay. Essentially, that was my comments. I just wanted to make sure that the paper went back to the school pupils and thank them for their contribution as well. So, thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, everybody, for your attendance tonight. See you at home.